You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from TCO Studios in Eagan, alongside producer and co-host Chris Corso, as usual. Jam-packed show today. We have a lot to get to, but we're going to start it out right. We're going to start out with today's guest. It's Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen in the studios for the first time. What's up, man?
How about that intro?
And you like
got
it?
Got me all juiced up.
Josh Duhamel.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, it's not every day you got Josh Duhamel talking good about you, right?
You guys must have like wrote that down for him. Like he wasn't just like, you know, talking about you like that.
No, we convinced him to do it, but he did go off script. I mean, he carried on a little bit there, don't you think?
Yeah, it was well done. Well done.
Okay, good. Glad you like it. Now we're going to get you to do one at the end of the show.
Sounds good. As long as you're paying me the same that you paid him.
Well, we're going to double your pay from the last time you were on the Wobcast.
Okay.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
That's great. It's really going to cover a lot of your greens fees. Okay, we are going to start out with some sound from our friends at Good Morning Football. Adam, are you familiar with the show Good Morning Football?
I am. Love it.
They love the Vikings and they love you, so take a listen to this.
Who is the under-the-radar player that cracks NFL's top 100 list? Top 50.
The top 50?
Sure.
Prime real estate. I'm going to take a shot at Brandon Cooks. I really am. Three straight 1,000-yard seasons is legit. You know the only guys who have done that in the league? Julio, A.B., Evans, and Fitzgerald. That is elite, elite company. Hmm. It's kind of weird. He got knocked out of the Super Bowl really early. Who knows how that would have affected the game. But all he does is change teams, show up, catch big passes, and go for 1,000 yards every single time. I don't know if he'll be there, but that's my dark horse candidate.
I'm going to go with Cameron Hayward, who's a big defensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was about 88 in the list in 2016. Didn't make it in 2017. He had 12 sacks last year, two-time defensive player of the week, and he was a first-team All-Pro. I don't think he's a household name. Yeah. Everyone knows Shazier. Everyone knows Polamalu and Harrison. Cam Hayward might be the rock of the Steelers' defense this season. I think he had an amazing year last year. He's a top 50 guy.
I'm going to go with a wide receiver whose teammate was on the list and was revealed yesterday, and that's Adam Thielen. Stephon Diggs just made the list, and I feel there like Adam Thielen is going to be that guy that now the peers are saying, okay, for majority of the year, he was top five in stats and putting up the production that they needed. He's one of the main pieces of this offense that helped them remain consistent throughout every game. So I'll go with Adam Thielen. My ultra dark horse would be Nick Foles.
Okay, talk about
I know it's a little bit of a
what's it like hearing that?
It's cool. I mean, obviously, it's nice to get the recognition and things like that. But at the same time, I really try to not listen to that stuff. You know, obviously, you know, these people are paid to talk about that stuff. But no one, you know, once the season starts again, no one cares about what you did last year. So for me, I'm just trying to get better every day and trying to make sure that I'm doing the things to help this football team win games.
I'm sure because NFL Network's on in the building everywhere. I'm sure that and you can't help but to watch it and look at it. And when you see your teammates up there, you love it. You think it's the coolest thing ever. It's got to be a little, I don't know, embarrassing or like you kind of want to hide when you see yourself up there.
You hit it on the head. I mean, when you see your teammates out there, you know, on TV getting recognized, you see them on social media getting recognized from around the league and the national media. It's awesome. Yeah. I love it. I really do love it because I see what those guys do every day in this building and the work they put into it, and they deserve it. So it's cool to see that. But like you said, you know, for me, I'm just trying to work and not really talk about it.
Yeah. On another team, who's just a really good football player that we run into? That you maybe they don't get the recognition, maybe they do. An example for me, well, I'll let you think of someone. I think that Glover Quinn, like, he's so good, I think. And no one, when you're talking about best safeties or best defenders, you never hear Glover Quinn's name. But, like, during the season and when we're getting ready to play the Lions, I'm just like, dang, that guy is so good. Is there someone like that for you where you're just like, man, this guy's good, but no one talks about him?
You know, honestly, I think there's a lot of guys. Yeah. It's really hard to just pick one guy. But, you know, so a name that always comes to my head, even though everybody talks about him, is Antonio Brown, because I was actually able to spend some time with him a couple off seasons ago. We went out to Miami and worked out with Teddy, and I see the way he works. And he puts a lot of on social media, but it's actually the truth. You know, he does grind and he does the things that he needs to do every year to get better, and it shows on the field. So I love that. I love seeing guys that put the work in, And then it shows on the field. So yeah. For me, I love seeing him have success.
Yeah, he is fun to watch, and he's a really good dancer too.
He is
dancing with the stars.
He's got some talents outside of football, which is impressive.
Speaking of that, what have you been doing? What's the coolest, best thing you've done this offseason? I mean, we all have a pretty good idea of everything that that you've done because we follow Mrs. T19 on Instagram and Twitter.
That's
so
right.
she keeps
That's
us right. updated.
Yes.
She started her own blog.
Yes.
Caitlin's doing a great
She's
job with
fun
that.
With it. Yeah, she loves it.
So you guys have been doing a lot of cool things. You went to Kenny Chesney. Right.
We did. Okay. Yes, met Kenny.
You got to meet Kenny Chesney.
Mr.
That's
Chesney.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
Like Coach Zim is a huge fan of Kenny Chesney.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it was really cool.
So y'all were doing something fun there. What's been some cool things you've done this offseason?
You know, honestly, it's just being able to spend time with family. You know, having a 1.5-year-old son, this is this time right now is just so fun, and being outside with him now that the weather's nice. I kind of get excited sometimes to get home just so I can go run around with him, play sports, hang out. Honestly, we just spent a lot of time with family, and we've taken a couple of vacations as a family just to get out of the cold and get in the sun and things like that. Asher loves the pool, so spend a lot of time in the pool when we're away.
Did you make it down to the Masters this year?
Did. Made it to the Masters. Went to a practice round, which was amazing. Definitely a dream, come true kind of, cause, always wanted to go and now I kind of have an itch to get back there and see an actual round. It's pretty awesome.
How's your gym coming along?
The gym is great. You know, that's another thing. Spend a lot of time there in the off seasons. Just love to be around the facility. My trainer, Ryan Engelbert, just does a phenomenal job, and all of our directors at the different facilities. It's really just a really cool atmosphere, and they've been fun to see them grow from day one. We opened in Lakeville and having one in Woodbury as well. It's pretty cool.
Okay, sweet. Watching the playoffs, NBA or NHL?
Not a huge NHL guy unless the Wild are in it. Mm-hmm. I watched every game when the Wild were playing. NBA is fun. I enjoy it. This year is probably the most I've watched. I don't know why that is. I think I took a little break from the NBA, but I think the Timberwolves playing well this year kind of got me back into it, which is cool.
I'm super excited to see the LeBron response to, I mean, Boston is the better team between Boston and Cleveland.
Well, I think Boston is going to win that series.
Okay.
Just by the way the first two went, but we'll see if LeBron. LeBron doesn't have any help.
I'm just excited to see the response.
It's scary to ever bet against LeBron.
Right.
And to just, to take a different team against LeBron is just a scary little thing. So, I think Boston's so well coached and they're playing really well right now, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
We need a prediction from you who you have winning the NBA Finals.
Man, that's just a tough question. NBA Finals, man. I think the easy pick is Golden State.
For sure.
That is the easy
one. The easy pick, but I think Boston. I think I'll go on a limb and just go with Boston.
For any people out there who are just like the team mindset and you want to put teams that play that way up on a pedestal, you're rooting for Boston.
Yeah, for sure.
Their two best players are not playing.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, and these guys, I think Rozier was playing in the developmental league 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
He's like one of the best players on the court right now.
They drafted well, that's for sure.
For sure they did. And now I kind of wonder, like, next year when Gordon Hayward is healthy and Kyrie is healthy, what's going to happen to everybody?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, do you make one of them available? Like, do you want the Wolves to trade for Kyrie Irving?
That would be amazing. I think that would be great.
Well,
I think
it'd
be a good fit too.
They're
what
not.
About, what about Terry Rozier?
Can't all play.
He's gonna get a max contract.
They cannot all play for Boston, can they?
They can. I think they can.
How?
I think they can.
Well, someone's not going to be playing enough.
The guy who's coaching that team is pretty intelligent. I think he can find ways.
He's good. Let's talk about the Vikings. Who looks good out at practices right now? OTAs are coming up. Mini camp's coming up after that. So you'll really get a look at it then. But what looks good out there?
Yeah, it's tough right now to evaluate too much just because, like you said, it's just routes on air and team on air and things like that. But, I can really only talk about the receiver group just because we spend so much time together and those are the guys that I'm really watching. But there's some young guys that are doing some really good things right now. I mean, you look at a guy like Stacey Coley and what he was able to do last year in the preseason, and how much better he's been able to get. And he's just a guy who listens and wants to learn and wants to grow and wants to get better, and is always on time and doing the right thing. So you kind of root for guys like that, and I think he's gonna have a good opportunity to help this team.
Is he fast?
He is lightning fast.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he's a Miami guy. They got to be fast.
Yeah, that's like one of his things, I think, coming out was one of his dominant characteristics or traits was his speed, right?
Yeah, which is funny because I think some of the knocks on him coming out, what I heard was that he's just a straight line fast guy. Yeah. Can't move and doesn't have the greatest hands, but it's funny because I don't look at him as a speed receiver. Yeah. I look at him as an all-around receiver. He can do everything. He can play in the slot, he can play outside. He's got great hands, great ball skills. So he's a guy that is really fun to watch and fun to see him develop.
Now, Brian Zylstra and my man
Brandon Zylstra
and my man Jake Winicky.
Yep.
Everyone's going to compare them to you. You know that, right?
Right.
Okay. So let's feed into that a little bit. What's your advice to guys like that?
I think just keep stacking days, taking one day at a time, taking advantage of the older guys, the veterans, the guys who've done it. Watching them, asking them questions, and then like I said, just taking it one day at a time. Keep growing. And don't look at the big picture. Don't start counting numbers. Don't start saying, oh, this guy's guaranteed to make the team. There's no spot for me. Or, oh, the only way I can make is a practice squad. You just don't think about those things. Just take it daily and just let everything else kind of play itself out.
Last one for me. I don't know if Chrissy has any, but it's going to be weird not having training camp in Mankato, isn't it?
Yeah, so 10 training camps in a row for me
for
there.
You. Yeah.
Wow.
With including Mankato State. So. Minnesota State, Mankato. But, it's definitely going to be weird.
It's going to be weird.
But it's kind of like a bittersweet thing because you definitely feel bad for the city of Mankato just because, it's that city's obviously meant a lot to me and done a lot for me. But at the same time, I think, for the general fans of the Vikings, I think it's going to be a cool thing, cool experience here at TCO. And then for us as players, too, just to be, here in the cities and closer to home and a more familiar spot with some great resources for recovery and nutrition, things like that. I think it's going to be something that's going to help us in the long run.
Cool.
So we sent out a tweet yesterday from the Vikings account. We got some fan questions.
Okay.
So we're going to give you a couple of those. The first one's from Kent Johnson. How is your relationship with your new quarterback, Kirk Cousins, going? This is something that everybody wants to hear.
Yeah, so. Everybody loves that question.
Yep.
Kirk's an amazing guy. Was really cool to be able to go out to Atlanta this offseason and spend some time with him. Diggs and I did that and kind of just got a jump start on building relationship and getting on the same page on the field. I think anybody on this team will tell you that he's an easy guy to be around. He likes to have fun and has a passion for football. So that's all you can ask for, especially in a guy that kind of has to be the leader of your football team. Normally you kind of lean on the quarterback to be that guy, and he's not forcing it, he's just kind of letting it happen, and he's easily just kind of taking over that role.
The next one is from DB Mike, and this is a good one from last year. How did it feel being the man of the match at Twickenham?
The man of the match. It was cool. What an experience.
That
I mean,
awesome.
Been there twice now. My rookie year when I was on practice squad was over there as well, playing against the Steelers, and to actually be able to play in the game this year was pretty cool, and to be able to score a touchdown was my first touchdown, so I had to go overseas to break the little drought I was in. So no, it was a really cool experience and had a lot of fun with it.
This one's from Skull Tailgate. Why do you only wear gold gloves sometimes when they seem to be present for all of your best games? I think you always wear gold gloves, no?
Yeah, I always have a little gold. It's funny because I started wearing them last year. I didn't wear them 2 years ago and thought I did some good things without yellow gloves. But I did not wear them for one game last year, and I got ripped pretty hard. So I don't know. We'll see what happens this year.
I'm gonna wear some yellow gloves for the next Wobcast.
I was about to say.
It'll be my best Wobcast of my career.
You can see those gloves from like everywhere too. It's you just
yeah. People, I was getting a hard time. Like people are like, oh, it looks like a flag's coming out all the time. So
yeah,
I'm
but
like,
he's like the quarterback. He'll see my hands every time.
Exactly.
So he'll throw it to
me the ball.
Just flash it.
Yeah.
Wave my hands around and
Let's do one more.
All right, last one. Who is the toughest corner that you've ever gone up against from at Skull Murray?
Oh, that's a tough question. I really haven't really thought about that one. I guess I kind of have to go with a guy who Probably made the toughest on me, but I was young in my career. Darrell Revis. I mean, we played against him, and I just remember taking
that one.
Yeah, you know, I just remember taking an inside release on a play, and like as soon as I did it, he knew exactly where I was going. So it was like it was something that kind of popped in my head. Like, and whenever anybody asked me that question, that kind of just pops in my head, that play. But like I said, I didn't get a whole lot of opportunity against him. I was a young player, and I was playing mostly special teams. So, but just like that one play kind of just sticks in my head.
That your story of Darrell reminds me of the story of Xavier Rhodes' first snap in the NFL. He was a rookie in 2013, and we were playing at the Detroit Lions. So who do you think he was lining up against?
Oh, Kelvin.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Kelvin ran like, I don't know what the proper football term would be for it, but it was a quick slant. It was like a two or three steps and a slant. And Xavier was on his behind as Kelvin was making his move.
Right.
You know, and look how far Xavier has come since then, right?
For sure.
And think back to that play against Darrell Revis and how far, you know, you've grown. Isn't that kind of cool?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to think about. And just kind of like your mindset from that long ago to now, you know, it's just crazy how things change. And that's kind of the goal, though, as NFL football players, as athletes, you're always trying to grow and always trying to get more confidence and more swagger and just be able to go out there and play football. And when you're early years, you really can't just go out there and play football because you don't have any experience. You don't really have anything to fall back on. So you're thinking and things like that, but you know, as you grow and you have some experience, you kind of just tend to just let it ride and play football.
Yeah, well, I grew up in New York, and I can promise you that I had a 24 jersey on my back when I was a young kid growing up. So it's good to hear Darrell Revis.
At
got one more.
@athielen19. No, that's Adam's Twitter account.
Oh, okay, cool.
@athielen19. Pay attention to that because I think Adam's going to have a pretty cool announcement coming up pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. So, well, that's all we'll tease for now. But you got a cool announcement coming up. Also, you're going to be working on your golf game now, right?
I am. I am. You know, I'm trying to get out once a week and work on my golf game. I probably played the best round I've played in a long time yesterday. So I will now be extremely frustrated from now on because I will not be able to match that again probably. So if you see me throwing clubs or slamming my club, that's why.
Don't do that. Caitlin will not like that.
Yeah, she hates that.
Not a good example for Asher.
Yeah, do not do that. Right. I try not to.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on the Wobcast. We appreciate it. I told you 5 minutes. It turned out to be like 10 or 12, but that happens.
It's all good. You owe me 7 minutes.
All right. I'll make up for it later. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. So we have more to get to here. We're going to do fan mail later on, a little top 100 player discussion, news and notes, a debate about which draft class is Spielman's best. That'll be coming up in a little bit. And then we'll talk about some of the best off seasons that teams have had in the NFL. But first, we'll do news and notes. An announcement this week, Chris. The Jacksonville Jaguars coming to town during training camp.
Yeah, we just announced that this morning. One of the best teams you can possibly have a practice against at this point when it comes to talent. I mean,
and they would say that about us.
Yeah.
Both of these teams, the Vikings and Jaguars, were in conference championship games last year.
That's right.
Practicing against each other during training camp.
That's right. The number one defense in the Vikings and the number two defense scoring points-wise last year in the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, man, that is going to be fun. The dates are August 15th and August 16th. These practices will be open to the public, but the tickets have not been, the information there hasn't been released
yet. So you're going to have to reserve your ticket ahead of time.
Yes.
You don't have to pay for it. It's free, but you do have to reserve it ahead of time. Stay tuned to @Vikings on Twitter or Vikings.com or both for details on how to do that.
Those will be some fun practices, that's for sure.
I'm going to keep this on news and notes every Wobcast until it changes.
Cool.
Dez Bryant is not on a team.
It's crazy. I mean, you saw the reports that the Ravens were the team that were going after him.
Then the Packers.
And then the Packers as well. And whenever the Packers are involved with a name like that, we got to keep mentioning it. That's for sure.
Dez Bryant is not on a team.
I can't believe that.
Okay. Zim has a football camp this weekend.
That's right.
I don't know. Is it full?
I think it is.
So you can't sign up anymore. But Zim's having his annual football camp this weekend here at TCO Performance Center. Something that the Mike Zimmer Foundation does every single offseason, and that's happening this weekend at TCO Performance Center. We had a roster move this week.
That's right. We did have a roster move yesterday. It was defensive tackle David Parry He was a member of the New Orleans Saints last year and actually played for the Indianapolis Colts. This is a depth move in the middle of the defense and a player who can definitely make an impact. In his first two seasons, he started all 32 games and had four sacks and was waived by the Colts before the start of the 2017 season. Signed on with the Saints last year and then kind of had some injury problems there last season. But he's a player that has experience. He showed that he can start early in his career, and an injury and stuff like that have hampered him from becoming the full player that he was back at Stanford as a college player. So, yeah, there's a lot of potential there, and you see some of the media tweeting about it on Twitter, like Ian Rappaport and stuff like that. So this is a substantial move that can definitely impact the depth on the defensive line.
Sweet. Welcome to the team, David Perry. Stephon Diggs, number 65 on the top 100.
We touched on this before, and that was with Adam Thielen. Thielen is still on the list, so that means Thielen is in front of Stephon Diggs, which we were talking about this the other day. I'd go with either of them. I mean, I don't know who you would pick if you had to choose one.
I think it depends what you want to do. I mean, they're both good at... But for, I know that everyone pays attention to the top 100 list, and it is cool, and there's a bunch of Vikings on it. But should we really care about any list that has Linval Joseph 83rd?
And Kirk Cousins 93. So
he's 83rd?
Linval, I mean, if you want a guy in the middle of your defense, I'm not sure you go far away from Linval over anybody else.
83rd.
In the league. So if that's the case, that's crazy. But yeah, it's of course notable that Diggs made the list, and being a fifth round pick in 2015, which we'll touch on later. That's a tease right there.
Oh, okay. good tease.
Yeah, and he had such a great season last year, ending with just such a great moment in Vikings history in the Minneapolis Miracle. So he's, I think he'll keep moving up on that list in the coming years.
The craziest stat from that play is the fact that that was the first walk-off touchdown in the fourth quarter in NFL playoff history.
Amazing. So,
The NFL is 99 years old.
Can't beat that.
It's the first one ever. Right. All right, OTAs are coming up. Are you excited for them?
I'm excited, and you've been to a lot more of these than I have. This will be my third OTA experience with the Vikings, so I kind of want to get your takeaways from what the fans will see and kind of explain to the fans who are listening what to expect from us at Vikings.com and what to expect from the players out on the field.
Yeah. All right. It's the closest thing to football that we're going to get until training camp, so that's cool. Now, there is still limitations on contact. It's not full pads during OTAs. They can do one-on-ones, but they can't have full contact. And they can do teamwork, but they can't have full contact. Yep. No shoulder pads. They will be in helmets. But you're going to see a daily highlight from us. So that'll be cool. And then when we accumulate enough Adam Thielen catches, you'll see an Adam Thielen highlight. Or you'll see a Xavier Rhodes highlight after enough good plays from those guys. So that'll be cool. Of course, you'll see a Kirk Cousins highlight. Yep. Photo galleries, one-on-one interviews, Wobcast, the whole thing. So the content will pick up on Vikings.com during OTAs, which will lead into minicamp. And then, you know, I think the coolest part is you start to see, like, okay, where are they playing Brian Murphy? Okay, where are they playing Mike Hughes? Inside at nickel corner or outside at regular corner? Yep. Like, that's a cool thing to see. Who's the backup safety? Who's playing, like, when Sendejo comes out, who goes in? Because now you know who the backup safety is to Sendejo.
That's right.
So you start to pick up on those things. That's pretty cool. And then another thing that'll be very easy to see for those of us who are there is the kicking competition. Like, we don't know exactly if, like, Brian O'Neill's sinking his hips the right way, or if Eric Wilson's drops and zone coverage are at the right depth. Like, we don't know that.
Yep.
But we know if Daniel Carlson made or missed that kick.
It's either one way or the other.
Right? So, So, like, we're going to be able to see that. So that'll be kind of fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, I think you touched on it all. I mean, it's definitely one of those times where you finally get back out on the field. You got good weather in Minnesota. That's one of the top OTA storylines for me. So it'll be fun to see the players all together out on the field.
All right, we have two fun discussion topics that you've come up with, Chrissy.
Right.
I don't know if we'll disagree on these or not. It wouldn't surprise me if we do. But let's introduce them. Which one is first? And you give your opinion first on this one.
So I think the first one is going to be talking about Spielman's best draft class. And we're gonna tease it here with a sound from NFL Network. And that was Willie McGinnis from NFL Network. He kind of gives his draft grade for the Vikings draft class this season. So take a listen.
Willie, Vikings, let's look at their notable picks here. Mike Hughes, the brand name in this draft class. Tyler Conklin might be able to do some things. And Jalen Holmes on the defensive side of the ball. They drafted a kicker.
Right over Brian O'Neal.
Daniel Carlson, the camera was in my way, Sean, so I don't want to skip over the line. Brian O'Neal, let's give him some love.
We'll give him all some love. Yeah. And I gave him a B. We're going to stay in the B. This wasn't a draft for need. This was a draft for depth. This team is loaded with a lot of talent. So you talk about Mike Hughes. He may come in. Terrence Newman did sign up, but, you know, he's a little older, so he won't be there. He'll be the replacement. And he'll be competing probably with Alexander in the slot. You got Trey Wans and Rhodes on the outside. Like I said, they got talent. And then you look at Brian O'Neal. Now, they probably could use a tackle because of injury. They want to be able to protect up front. We saw what happened when all the linemen got hurt the one year. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. They revamped the O-line. They brought in some depth behind that. Jalen Holmes, the defensive end, I think they know a little something about defense with their coordinator, Zimmer, what to do with him. And then Tyler Conklin behind Rudolph, a tight end. They brought in guys that can come in, they can develop, and they can have depth in case of injury and things go wrong. But Mike Hughes could actually probably get some playing time because he's a talented young corner.
Let's not forget that they added Sheldon Richardson via free agency to that top.
Yeah, I think defense. I could play corner for Minnesota.
That's pretty good.
With that D-line, they're so good. They're so good. You could play corner.
I don't think at this
point. And their linebackers.
All right.
So that was the draft this year.
But my man, Willie McGinnis, like, he's right. Depth, but that's what you want. You want to be the team that draft picks come in and they don't start.
That's right.
That's good. That means you got a good roster. All right.
So that leads greatly into our discussion topic, and that is Vikings general manager Rick Spielman's best draft class to date. And you've been here for a lot longer than I have, as we've touched on, but... and so you got some more draft classes to pick from that you've seen here.
Yeah, I mean, he drafted Adrian Peterson.
That's right.
Same year that he drafted Brian Robinson. 09 was pretty good. Percy Harvin and Phil Lodeholt were the first two picks there. I mean, we got the best 4 years of Percy's career, and Phil was got a second contract, I do believe, and played for a long time. So
that's right.
That was good. 2012 at the time, very good. We got Harry out of 2012.
Yep.
Matt Khalil was starting left tackle for four seasons. So you got him in 2012, Jarius Wright, Rhett Ellison, Blair Walsh, Audie Cole. That was not a bad draft class. I don't know. Where are you leaning? There's a couple others.
My best is 2015.
Yeah.
2015, it's tough. Pete Prisco of CBS Sports recently had an article where he graded this draft class, and in his first grade it was like a B.
Like at the time?
At the time. Then he regraded it now.
It's got to be an A.
It's an A+.
Yeah, okay.
So you have four starters on the team currently, and Trey Waynes, Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, and that's leaving out a starter or a player who played substantial amount of time in Shamar Stephen. Mm-hmm. And then you also had TJ Clemens in that draft as well, Clemens, who started for his first couple seasons. So that's, I mean, how do you... It's pretty good.
14, you had Barr, Teddy, and Jet.
That's not bad. Too.
2017, Dalvin Cook, Pat Elflein.
Really good.
Ben Gideon. And then we'll see what happens with the two Hurricanes, Danny Isadora and Stacy Coley.
That's right.
But I think you're right. I will not disagree with you. I think 15 is the Vikings' best work with Rick Spielman leading the way in the draft. Trey Waynes was the first round pick, but if I told you actually Eric Kendricks was the first round pick,
or Stephon you'd be Diggs cool with was that. The first round pick.
He was the fourth round pick. Yeah. Kendricks was the second round pick, but if he would have been the first round pick, you'd be cool with that. Danielle Hunter, third round pick. If he would have been the first round pick, cool with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they aced it.
That was one where
they aced the draft.
Prisco was like, oh, at the time I thought Danielle Hunter was a bust or a boom. And yeah, he's a boom.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, Spielman aced the Spielman and the Vikings, because it is a team process for those guys. They aced the 2015 draft.
For sure.
Really good job. So, and when you ace a draft like that, a future draft like 2018 gets to be a draft about depth, like Willie McGinnis said.
That's right.
So that's
so where thanks for that, Willie.
That's where you want to be.
All right. The next topic that we're going to bring up here is this offseason. We've had so many roster moves by all the NFL teams, and One fun topic that would be good to discuss is naming a team in the NFL, not the Vikings, but another team that had the best offseason, whether it's in the draft, through free agency. And I have mine set in stone.
I'll go first.
We'll let you go first.
This came down to a debate among three teams for me. This came down to the Oakland Raiders,
okay,
with the main reason being John Gruden.
Okay.
What a win for them.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Jack Del Rio, who I thought did a good job, but they had to find a new coach. They decided to go in a different direction, and they landed John Gruden, and I think that should inspire some confidence in the Raiders.
For sure.
Philadelphia. And I don't want to pick the defending Super Bowl champs in here for a lot of reasons, but I do think they've had a pretty good offseason. Like, they signed Mike Wallace. Did you know that?
I honestly did not know
that. Yeah, I didn't know that either, but I was looking at their depth chart, and they got Mike Wallace on their team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, I think Philly's done a pretty good job, and a lot of times we see a big drop-off from Super Bowl teams the next season. I don't think you're going to see that from Philly. Plus, their quarterback is going to be healthy and coming back, so they get him back.
Yeah.
So, but that's not who I'm choosing. I'm choosing the third team.
Who's the third team? Cleveland Browns?
I can't. I thought about them.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear your reaction to this. Chicago Bears.
Wow.
The Chicago Bears. They hired a new head coach, Matt Nagy,
yep,
who comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree. I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
They signed Trey Burton at tight end, Allen Robinson at wide receiver, and Taylor Gabriel at wide receiver to give their second-year quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, some weapons.
They drafted a wide receiver.
They
as well.
Drafted Anthony Miller from Memphis,
yep,
I believe in the third round. They drafted James Daniels, an offensive lineman in the second round who can play guard or center, and they drafted Roquan Smith, the Alabama linebacker, in the first round.
Georgia linebacker
in the, yep, first round. And then I like their schedule. I like weeks 2 through 5. They host Seattle, they're at Arizona, they host Tampa Bay, and they're at Miami.
Wow.
So they play the Packers to start out the season. That is a rough way to go.
Yeah.
But after that, it's Seahawks, Cardinals, Bucks, Dolphins. I like the way that starts for them.
That's as good as it gets.
So I like the Bears offseason.
Yeah, they had a really good offseason. You touched on the draft there too, man. I mean, Roquan Smith.
Stud.
The Anthony Miller, I watched him play in actually went up against Mike Hughes in a little bit of, mm-hmm, that game in Central Florida against Memphis
yeah,
in the title of that conference. So, man, they definitely added some depth to that offense.
So I hate to say it because they're in our division, but I'm going Bears. I think the Bears had the best offseason besides the Vikings in the NFL this year.
That's good. I'm going to stay in the NFC. I'm not going to go in our division, but I will stay in the NFC, and that's I'm going with the New York Giants.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think when you get Saquon Barkley in the draft, obviously adding head coach Pat Shurmur, who, yep, hate to see him go, but obviously we added a great offensive coordinator in DeFilippo. And then looking at some of the moves they made, they get a left tackle who's proven in Nate Solder.
Yep.
You get an O-lineman in Will Hernandez out of UTEP in the draft. You get a running back in Jonathan Stewart, a veteran from Carolina that can sort of pass the baton to Saquon Barkley. And a lot of people forget they picked up linebacker Alec Ogletree,
mm-hmm,
in a trade with the Los Angeles Rams. So adding to the offensive line, getting a playmaker in the backfield, which they haven't had in a really long time, a new head coach who knows how to build an offense, and then adding a big part of that defense in Alec Ogletree, I really like what,
yeah,
they did.
Yeah, the Giants did get a lot better, I think. And it's a team that I think was already good. They just had a down year.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Pat Shurmur was going to a team where the cupboards were not bare.
Yeah.
They already had a lot of talent, especially on defense, and they got Eli. And as you said, they made some great additions. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. All right.
We're on to the mailbag questions, so we're going to see what Wobby has to say about these. The first one, I love the name, is from Chris. Love
okay. the name. Yep, good spells name. It the right way, too.
Spells it great.
Okay.
Legalized sports betting is a huge concern for me. From the owner's perspective, it is a jackpot of a revenue stream. I understand that betting on games happens already, but in my opinion, it will taint organized sports. What are we about to have? One team in Las Vegas, but with legitimizing betting for all 33, we will have more. Respectfully request your thoughts on this, Wobby.
Yeah, I mean, I think people can be on different sides of this, and you're against it or for it, whatever, it doesn't matter. They struck down the law that prohibits it. So now it's up to each state whether or not they're going to legalize it or not, and states are going to legalize it at different rates. Some are not going to legalize it at all. And I think the NFL is going to do a really good job of educating players and employees and fans about it. And I don't think it's going to be anything that is a huge concern. You know, I don't think it's going to ruin the integrity of the game. Sports betting was already happening, and the integrity of the game hasn't been ruined. So, and I just don't believe that with the infrastructure in place that the league has, that legalizing it is going to ruin the integrity of the game. It's not a concern to me.
I agree. I think the shield will protect the game at all costs, whether it's for safety concerns or this or that. I think they're always evolving, and I think this is just another step. And I think there's a lot of money to be made, so that's why.
And I think that it's going to enhance the viewing pleasure for a lot of fans of the league, and that's good.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't agree with Chris that it's a huge concern. I think if it weren't handled the right way, and if the policy from the states isn't good, it could become a concern, but I think the policy will be good, and I think the league will do a good job of handling it.
Next one from Jack Lozel. With more and more players being held out of games because of the concussion protocol, has there been any talk of raising the number of players on a team from 53?
Yeah, I get that quite a bit. I think before they do that, I think what they would do is on game days, you have to take your 53-man roster and you have to trim it down to 46.
Yeah.
I think instead of raising the number up from 53, I think they would make it like 47, 48, or 49 players who could be active on game day instead of 46.
Yeah.
That's what I see happening first.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of tough when you have to declare all those players inactive and a lot of young players who don't even get a chance to dress on game day. So I would definitely like to see that number go up.
And the reason that they do that is, you know, and we've talked about this before, is like if your team, Chris, has like just two players who are kind of hurt and can't play, but my team has seven players who can't play.
Yeah.
Or five players.
Yep.
You're at a huge advantage if all of the roster can play. Because you've got 51 guys who can go, and because I have five who are hurt, I've only got 48.
Yep.
So by reducing the rosters to 46, it's 46 on 46. That's why they do that. Yeah, makes that a lot makes of sense.
Yep. Definitely. Last one from Ross M. from Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm in need of a new Vikings jersey since Teddy is no longer with the team. I would like to represent a current Vikings player that may be with the team for the rest of his career.
Huh.
In your opinion, who is the next Chad Greenway or Brian Robinson? Thanks, Wabi. Always enjoy your VEN content.
Oh. Well, okay.
Love the compliment.
I do too. All right. Well, you got Eric Kendricks. He just was given a contract extension, right?
Yep.
So there's an option. But I think he's kind of getting at like even a younger player than that. Pat Elflein?
Pat Elflein's a good one.
He feels like a Viking, like through and through. Like he's
middle of the offensive line. Yes. Yeah. I mean, once you play that well in your rookie year, I don't see him going anywhere.
Yeah, neither do I. So I think Pat Elflein would be a good option. Thielen, or is it too late? Is like that not the point of the question? I mean, Thielen looking good, I would say.
I would say he wants to finish his career in his home state.
I think so. I really like Elflein. I think Elflein, like he's talking about like a legacy player, a guy who's going to be here for his whole career, 2-3 contracts maybe. Get in young while a guy's still really early in his career. Kind of feels like Pat Elflein might be your answer.
I love that.
Plus, like you're not going to have a bunch of Pat Elflein jerseys in the stands.
You want to be different.
Yeah, you're going to have.
I like being different.
Yeah, man, you're going to have a Pat Elflein jersey on.
Yep.
Ain't no one else got one of those.
No one's got Pat Elflein. That was like the Nick Mangold jersey. Yeah. Or like. Just one of those really good offensive line. Alan Faneca.
Jeez, remember, look at these Jet references.
Alan Faneca, he's a Steeler. That was a Steeler.
But he was a Jet.
He was a Jet.
He did become a Jet.
Yeah. But one of those big offensive linemen, I like the Elflein one. Maybe Dalvin Cook? I mean, everyone's going to have Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of Dalvin Cooks in there. And I hope that he is a Viking for life. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great.
I think that the Wobcast stamped jersey of the future,
Pat Elflein.
In. All right, cool. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. Our thanks to Adam Thielen for being the guest today. He was awesome, and we know fans love hearing from him. Thanks, Chrissy, for all your work co-hosting and producing. Good job as usual.
Of course.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. So on behalf of all of those people, yours truly, Wabi, signing off for now. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week. Yeah, I started with